demonstration here. I need a volunteer. Bonnie, thanks for volunteering. Here's the scenario. Carol and I have come to you, and we've asked you for some counseling. You see, we're having marital problems. So you say, okay, you agree to advise us and to settle our problems and help us work things out, and you invite us up to your house, and you sit us down together, and you say, which one of you will go first? And I say, let me go first, because I don't understand even why we're here tonight. I don't even think a problem exists. I love my wife. I tell her that regularly. In fact, I make it a point every day to tell her that I love her. I not only tell her verbally, I try and show her in acts of kindness, in consideration that I love her. I try to be sensitive to her needs, and if I find that she needs help around the house or with the things that she's doing, I try to be there for her. I work hard, trying to earn a good living so that I can support her and give her things that I believe are good for her, and I just don't understand how it is that she can say that we have significant problems that need counseling. And you look at Carol and you ask her and this question, are all these things true? And she says, yes, they are. Now, at this point, where do you think the problem in our marriage relationship resides? Don't worry about it. She has a husband who tells her that he loves her, that shows her that he loves her, that does things for her, that works hard. Oh, by the by, I forgot to add this. I try to make myself presentable to her. I try to stay clean and neat and so forth. I try to be, you know, compassionate and caring. I commend her regularly for the way she keeps up the house and how she's raised her kids. I try to be encouraging to her. Yes, that's right. I thought I heard an amen coming from Jim. But remember, you've asked Carol if all these things are true, and she has said, yes, they are true. Yep. So where would you probably think that at this point in time that you would, now be honest, if all those things were true of me, you would probably think, well, then Carol might have some expectations that are unreal, or maybe there's something going on there that the problem isn't with me, the problem is with her, right? Probably. Yeah, this is what you're thinking at this point, right? So, I knew I shouldn't have picked Bonnie. So you turn to Carol then and you say, my goodness, woman, you've got a perfect husband there. Maybe you didn't say it quite like that. Why is it that you're here for counseling? And she says, well, while all those things may be true, he's seeing another woman. Has your opinion changed? And you ask me and you say to me, wait a minute, you knucklehead. How in the world can you say that you love your wife when you're seeing another woman? Wouldn't that be a fair question to ask? Huh? Well, wouldn't that be a fair question to ask me? Uh-huh. Let me ask the rest of the congregation. Do you think that would be a fair question to ask? I don't know what I was thinking when I thought of this introduction. I thought it would just, you know, work perfectly. I never thought of Bonnie and Bob. Let me ask you, if the congregation agrees, that seeing another woman violates a marriage covenant, correct? Say yes all together. Good. You just made yourself accountable for the teaching of the message tonight. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to the 16th chapter of Luke, where we left off this morning. As I said this morning, the first 12 verses was probably the most difficult passage of Scripture to interpret. What's before us tonight, the next six verses, seemed to me in my study this week so disjoint, I didn't know how in the world to put it all together. And I labored just as long with this until it finally fell into place. Read along with me. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is oftentimes translated as money. But mammon goes beyond just the dollars and cents, and it can include anything that money can buy, possessions. You cannot be a person who serves God and material things. Now, the key word is serves. Does not say you cannot have God and possessions. The key word is serve. You cannot serve God and serve material things. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. Why? Because they were trying to serve two masters. The Pharisees, understand, were the religionists of Jesus' day. They were very careful concerning the Mosaic law and its requirements. They were about religious duties with a passion. Just as I said about in this little scenario about trying to be helpful to my wife and helping out around the house and saying that I loved her and so forth. So these Pharisees were that way in their observance of religious rituals. And he said unto them, ye are that which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whoso putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Now, if you're looking at this with me for the first time in a while, you're probably saying to yourself, boy, this does seem disjoint. But here's the situation. These Pharisees were trying to be observers of religious rituals and therefore saying, hey, we really do love God. We are God's people. And the proof of that is that God is adding his material blessing to our lives. It was taught, and it was scripture that was misconstrued, that if you were in a right relationship with God, you would be materially blessed. Now, God did choose to materially bless certain people. And God did promise the nation of Israel that if they were in a right relation with him, that the nation as a whole would be blessed materially. But he never promised that to individuals. And they were taking national promises and trying to relate it to themselves personally. Therefore, they figured the more material things that they could get would be the evidence that the fact that God was pleased with them. Consequently, they went through all the right things, and their heart was looking toward another, material things. Jesus goes on to say that while they were making a good demonstration on the outside, according to verse 15, God knew where their hearts were lying. Now, I could say, that's an interesting term, they were lying. Not just lying down or laying, I guess is the correct word, but lying as in telling false things. I could say that I love my wife. And I told her repeatedly that I do these things and I demonstrate it with certain actions. But the fact of the matter is, there is a special, unique relationship in a marriage covenant, and it's a love that is reserved for only one. And when I admitted to the fact that I was seeing another, now remember, this is all a scenario that's made up. Don't let word get out. The pastor admitted from the pulpit Sunday night that he's seeing another woman. No, I'm not doing that. But in this scenario, in effect, I said, I really don't love my wife. Not with the type of love that a marriage relationship deserves and requires. One of the interesting analogies of Scripture is that between the Church of Jesus Christ and Christ Himself, we are the bride of Christ. We have, in effect, a marriage covenant with Him. There is to be a special love that we are to have reserved for Him and none other. And here these Pharisees, as members of the nation of Israel, were also the wife of Jehovah. And they were too to have that same type of special relationship with Him. But they had another relationship on the side. It was for material things. Verse 16, the Lord Jesus says, now listen, you guys are really hyped up about the law. You consider that you are observers of the law, you're doing all the right things, and he said to a certain extent there's a truthfulness to it. The law and the prophets were unto John. That is, from the time of Moses through David and Solomon and the kings and all the Old Testament prophets, those words of God had the ability to define how life is to be lived. Do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. All these different commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not, were found in the law and the prophets. And you guys say, yes, that's right, that defines how we are to live. The Lord is our master, we are His servants, we love our God, and therefore we are going to do what He says. But here's the rub. Those things were in effect up to and including the ministry of John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Now understand what's being said here. John came and said, look, none of us are capable of fulfilling the law and its requirements. The law brings condemnation. We need a redeemer. We need someone who will take away our sins. The law will define our sins, but it cannot do anything to take them away. And then he turned to his disciples and said, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And the law and the prophets pointed to the person of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist said, there he is, pointed him out quite directly. Kingdom of God was being preached. Here is the one whom the law and the prophets foretold. Moses said there would come a prophet, that God would give a prophet. Isaiah said that God would send forth His servant. Various passages all throughout the Old Testament pointed to Jesus, and John made that very clear, and the people recognized that the law and the prophets were pointing to Jesus. They recognized Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and they said, this is the one who will take away our sins. But the Pharisees said, no, we don't want Him. But we keep the law. Well, their declaration of keeping the law was as valid as my declaration that I love my wife. while seeing another. Verse 17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass, that is to pass away, to no longer exist, than one tittle of the law to fail. The law cannot be changed. Now the Pharisees, they understood that. They agreed with that. Only it brought them condemnation. Whoso putteth away his wife and marrieth another commits adultery. Isn't that what the law says? Yeah, that's right. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. Isn't that right? Well, yeah, that's right. That if the law says that, okay, guys, if you have a relationship as part of the wife of Jehovah, and that is like a marriage relationship, and your heart is not geared with 100% commitment towards me, but you have another on the side, it's called material things. Haven't you just broken the law? And he nailed them. As I said, the Church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Christ. We are to be married to him. There is to be a special, unique love that we have for him. That love means, not only do we say that we love him, not only do we do acts that demonstrate that we love him, but that special, unique love is shared with none other. Building on what I said this morning in the first 12 verses, God has given us lots of things. The book of Romans tells us those things we are given to enjoy freely, but they are to be used for his ministry. We often put those things aside, or put the Lord aside in favor of those things. Oh, we come and we say, yes, I love you, Lord. And we sing the songs, we say the right things, we pray, we listen, we do all the right things on Sunday, and I'm preaching to the choir again. That's the only thing about verses and passages of Scripture like that. Whenever you preach it, those that are in attendance don't need to hear it. It's always those that aren't here that need to hear it. So if they're not here, how are you supposed to preach it to them? But we let so many things come and interrupt that special relationship. Bonnie, getting back to our illustration, what would you counsel me to do? I've admitted that I'm seeing another woman. What's your solution to the problem? Pretty simple, isn't it? Yep. Or you will hand Carol a gun. Beloved, when anything comes between our love and devotion and service for the Lord, not that we would think, well, it's not that I don't love the Lord anymore, but I gotta love this other thing too. It can't happen. Cut it out. Quit it. Stop. Let's pray. Father, tonight may our hearts, our hands, our feet, our lips, our ears, our eyes, and every other part of our body be devoted to serving you. Lord, may we love you with a love that is pure and holy. For we recognize that God so loved the world with that very same love. And our only appropriate response is to love you back with it. Father, if there's one here tonight who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, maybe they're trusting in the good deeds of do this and don't do that, which is good, but but not good enough. May they recognize that they need a Savior tonight. Call upon Jesus Christ, who died for their sins on Calvary's cross, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Father, may they have that love put in their heart tonight where they might spend the rest of their life solely committed to the one who loved them with an everlasting love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.